What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
This election cycle was a particularly nasty one, with billionaire dollars attempting, and in some cases succeeding, in purchasing a new political landscape across Alameda County. We are joined this morning by Congresswoman-elect Latifah Simon. I can't say that without a big old smile on my face. Our newest House representative on her way to being inaugurated for California's 12th district, which includes the cities of Oakland, Berkeley, Emeryville, Alameda, Albany, Piedmont, and most of San Leandro. The Congresswoman will be replacing longtime Representative Barbara Lee next month. Barbara Lee has been in that seat since 1998. Good morning, Latifah Simon. Thank you so much for taking time out of what I know is an insanely busy schedule to join us.
You know, Ms. Brooks, I don't know if you remember, when I launched my campaign, you were the first interview that I gave. It seems like forever, but what an honor to be in conversation with you. Yes.
Full circle, my sister. Yes. So first of all, congratulations. Latifah, I'm going to start a little bit with the personal. You are such a powerhouse and inspiration to so many of us, right? And we see the way that you move in community. But a lot of folks don't know that you got it from the mud, quite literally, right? From street kid in San Francisco to congresswoman-elect. Talk about that journey a little bit.
I appreciate it. But you talked about the nastiness of this campaign environment. It was so nasty. But again, I understood my why. You know, many folks who don't know me don't know that I have almost a 30-year-old child, all right, who is about to be herself a mother. I had Amina in the Banneker Homes Projects when I was a teenager, and I would drop her off at daycare, Audrey L. Smith Daycare. That was a free daycare, thank God. And I would get right back on the bus and go down to what was then the Street Survival Project, which was an organization where I learned how to organize as a young woman who, again, was from the mud, literally from the Fillmore District of San Francisco. My parents struggled deeply with addiction, and I was in and out of high school. Having Amina gave me new breath and new life. We knew who we were before addiction, Kat. We knew who we were as a community before the war on drugs. I knew my parents and my family to be warriors in the Black Liberation Movement. So I found an organizing job that kept me in high school, paid me double the minimum wage to learn how to effectuate those politics on the streets with my sisters who were being exploited, not only by folks that looked like them, but let me say by our system. And a couple of years after landing an organizer job at then the Street Survival Project, I became the executive director of then what we call the Center for Young Women's Development, where we expanded what it would mean for young women like myself and others to develop our own power. So I've been running a payroll for 30 years, you know, at various institutions, but what I wanted then and what I want now, what I want now are institutions that respect the deep dignity of those who are seeing the worst of who we are. Those young people, those trans kids, those disabled folks, those homeless folks who can find space and place. And I gotta say, as much as we have been let down by government, I refuse, as an institutionalist, to make sure to not make sure that this country has a lot to live up to. There was promises that were given that have been broken. And what we do is we hold those promises near to the center of our hearts. So I come from the mud. Again, my family has been in the mud. I also, let me just be clear, while my family struggled deeply, we were also pillars in this community. My Aunt Demira was a principal for 20 years here in Oakland and helped develop, you know, the Lighthouse Masjid. We were raised Muslim. I had deep struggle, but I also had deep faith and deep clarity. And I know who I am. And I know who folks will try to paint us as, but I'm very clear. And the thousands of folks that I have worked with on the ground over the years, they too know who I am and why they supported our campaign. Mm-hmm.
Latifah Simon, you are entering Congress at an interesting political moment. You're headed up to D.C. at a time when Trump will be entering his second presidency, and both the Senate and House are controlled by a Republican majority. How does that shape what you believe you can get done in your first term?
Oh, I love this question. Kat, you know this about me. I don't sleep well. I read a lot. Since Kevin, my husband, died 10 years ago, I don't get sleep. And so I read. And I have actually been reading about the Romans, and I've been reading about the Colosseum. When the Romans, you know, when the Roman citizens entered the Colosseum, it wasn't just for entertainment. It was a demonstration of power and spectacle, a distinction from the challenges of government. You know, today we do face this crazy trifecta of concerted conservative power. I'm really clear. We've been here before. You know, my great aunts and uncles swung from trees in Arkansas. So not only must we stay vigilant, I'm not distracted by the racism and the homophobia and the xenophobia and the hatred of poor people. We have seen it. My job in Congress is not just to hold the line, but to be boldly and unapologetic about the strengths of the movements that got us here. So I want to be clear. You don't enter the legislature just standing on the steps talking about what is right. There are things that we can get done. The people of the California 12th District sent me to Congress because we got a few things that are going on here that folks want us to focus on from the local, the state, the regional, and the federal level, one being housing. I have asked party leadership on both sides of the aisle to place me on transportation and infrastructure. There are billions of dollars that seat and that are available to American cities. We will try to move resources to create more housing opportunities. Again, housing opportunities where there is union labor. We will work extremely hard in that committee. Much of what happens in Congress happens in the committee space. So to provide resources for this network of public transportation that we know not just poor people, but people who love the earth and the air use every single day, we have underfunded systems in our social safety net here, including, I mean, folks talk about, we want to sweep the streets every single day. Where are these people going to go? Have you been to John George lately? John George deserves federal resources, not just state resources, to provide amazing and beautiful health services for those folks who are struggling with mental health. For folks who are trying so hard to stay clean, they can't get treatment on demand in this county. Right? So there are things I know that I will do both in the committee space and on the congressional floor. The last 2 weeks, Kat, I spent with incoming members of Congress from both sides of the aisle. And we were on buses together, child. We were in meetings and trainings together. But I, you know me and you know us. Listen, when you know somebody's child, I was, you know, bouncing a little baby on my hip of one of the Republican new members as a young man. And I know that he might not see me as human, but you know, we are not only good people. I'm a good person. I was raised right. When you know the name of someone's child, the way that you work with them and you organize with them, you do it with conviction and love. I'm gonna get things done because you know me, I told you a long time ago, I'm gonna work with everybody because my people need to eat. You can't lead if your people are hungry. So, you know, again, I think the trifecta, it's gonna produce insurmountable challenges, but I am there for the fight. I am not afraid of a racist. I am not afraid of a Republican. But you know who is? That little child right now in the Fruitvale whose parents are struggling to get papers and he sees on the news that they might be ripped out of their homes as the Japanese were, you know, some 30, 40, 50 years ago, excuse me, during World War II. So yeah, we got work to do, but we're ready.
Lydia, for someone, we started this conversation talking about, you know, the election cycle being pretty nasty and specifically, you know, the ways in which you were attacked by your opponents. Part of what was so disturbing about it, and it has been for a hot minute, right, is that in this current political climate, it has become permissible, acceptable, normalized to attack Black women in particular.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That is only going to intensify for you
yes,
at the federal level.
Yep.
So I guess it's a multi-part question, right? Like, how did you cope, you know, through the recent electoral cycle? What lessons did you learn, and how are you preparing, bracing yourself for the onslaught that you will surely be facing as a congresswoman?
You know, I pray 5 times a day. I will back out of a meeting to go make salat in a bathroom, in a room. And I lean deeply on my faith. I will tell you, as somebody who grew up in a real neighborhood with real challenges, it's tough. It's difficult not to react to evil. It's very, very difficult to see lies about you when you know all you want to do is make sure that folks have what they need. But what was important to me, and what will remain important to me, is the folks who I work for need more from me than to go tit for tat with folks who are not in their own healing. We do that with a pin, not with a bullhorn oftentimes. So for me, the best strategy was essentially, and it was difficult, but to ignore. Imagine if, you know, you are a sinister person and you are, you know, talking crazy about an opponent, whether it be someone in your workplace or a political opponent or kid in the schoolyard, and that person just continues to walk by you and not look at you because they're worried about the future of the community. I think that that pissed off a lot of folks who were on the other side of my race. But we won with 65% of the vote. And I'm proud of that. And I also am humbled by it that I have more work to do. There will continue to be voices in this community and beyond that will try to separate us. I said it in the first commercial that I put out. I need to fight for the woman who's sleeping in her car, for the family who is putting together money right now to bury one of their loved ones. We have bigger fights to fight than these folks who spend time tearing us down on Twitter.
Latifah Simon, what are you apprehensive about as this new chapter of your life as a public servant unfolds?
Oh my God, I just got strangely emotional as you said that. My Layla, my 13-year-old baby, who I just love, who I am her only parent. You know, her dad is, you know, in the stars. And she has made an extraordinary sacrifice for my service. Right before I left to come back to the Bay Area just a couple days ago, you know, she's in Washington, D.C. now with Amina, my eldest. And while we'll be living together, she knows that my travel will be crazy. Our work hours, as they always have been, will be crazy. But, you know, she's 13 and she looked at me and she says, Mommy, I miss you. I miss you. And what do you say? You know, what do you say? And so I just had to pray with her and let her know, you know, we have a responsibility, I told her, Layla. We have a responsibility. There are folks who need us to move and walk with grace. And so I talked to her about 5 times a day, you know, and yet it's still not enough. I can't wait to get back to her in a couple of days. I'm also apprehensive, again, about our current political climate, as you know. I mean, we know the nastiness and what's ahead of us in D.C. I'm worried that the noise that we, unfortunately, I say a collective, we have created that is so not helpful to sheltering folks, right? To ensuring that folks can seek the asylum that they deserve as they're fleeing countries that we have implicated over the years and created war and famine and violence. I fear for us, and that's what makes me wake up early every morning and why I go to sleep very, very late at night, because I want to do the right thing. I want to work with all of the coalitions that I've come to know over the years and joining in with folks in Congress to tell the story every single day. There's not a lot of legislating you can do in a trifecta, but damn it, we're going to fight like hell to make sure that we protect the small wins that we have been fighting for now over 150 years. You know, as Black and brown, as disabled folks, as queer folks. And I wanna say that those wins have been the floor. These are the basic human rights. You can use the bathroom that you wanna use. You can go into a public space and not be spit on. That you can actually get the healthcare that you deserve as an elder fighting cancer. We've had some wins, but they are not our North Star. There's so much more work to do. So I'm apprehensive, but yet I'm really hopeful. You know, I keep telling folks, we are weary. We definitely weary, but we are not weak.
No, and we know that, right? Like when the pendulum swings to the right, we come out swinging, we pull it back to the left. Latifah Simon, one of the things, you know, when we engage in electoral politics as freedom fighters, social justice warriors, and we support progressives getting into office, one of the things that we look for are people that are interested in co-governance. And I know that you were one of those folks. And I'm wondering, how you think that that's going to look for you to co-govern with the folks in the districts that you represent?
I love the question because my focus is the district. So the change in beloved community starts here in the district, those seven cities that you mentioned. Now we have to build the coalitions that reflect these values. Well, there are existing coalitions, let me be clear, but the reason why I ran and the reason why I'm so excited to govern is our office hopefully will be a catalyst for a number of things. One, we really need a 2-year plus plan. I wanna tap in, and you know me, to procure every resource possible to bring back home. So every single elected in this district, I want to build a table so that we work together to bring together a resource calendar so that my staff and others can forcefully apply for federal resources, even in a Trump administration. You have to remember, during the Trump administration, I helped to bring back $3 billion for public transportation during COVID. What that took was laser-focused bipartisan support we had to gather and garner to ensure that, you know, during a very, very difficult time here, that our transportation infrastructure still was able to maintain, given that BART and other transportation agencies, a majority of their operating expenses were from the fare box. So our operating budget came from the fare box. So when you had a nation shut down, no one's tagging in and tagging out, you don't have an operating budget. We had to really work very closely with his then administration. I plan to do that work again. The other piece is the district office should in fact be a space where not only we're hiring folks who are Black and Latino and Asian, disabled, queer, working class voices, but that we're deeply engaging in those communities to lift up both our legislative and advocacy agenda. You know, I plan on doing that from day one, as I've been doing in my campaign and throughout 30 years, from barrier transit to housing. You know, we have to work with folks really on the ground and who have really wonderful solutions. We'll create a legislative agenda, and I will put bills in the hopper. Again, will they move? It takes an average and a good time with a good Congress and a good Senate, 6 to 7 years for anything to move forward. That doesn't mean we don't try.
It is a pretty massive endorsement from Congresswoman Barbara Lee. What parts of her legacy will you be taking into office with you?
I want to share this. A couple of, you know, weeks ago when I first got to the Capitol for orientation, Ms. Lee, you know, she has been since, you know, the middle of my race. I started going up a week out of every month to just work with her and to see how she works. You don't just get into Congress and figure it out how it works. You got to have mentors. But just a couple of weeks ago, you know, she was taking me to the Congressional Black Caucus lunch, and I am 47 years old. I believe Barbara is in her late 70s. That woman can move physically. Like, I have on heels, okay? And I'm trying to, I'm grown with heels and a pantsuit that's not right, fitting right. She's flying. And I said, Miss Lee, wait. She says, we're going to be late. We cannot be late. And she said, and she turned around while she was walking and said, sister, you better come on. And what I took from that is not only do we have to be present and we have to show up, but there is absolutely no time to cower. You know, she is known for so many things. In fact, one of them being saving 25 million people because of the AIDS research that she got funded. Not only that, taking that consequential no vote on a ridiculous war, but she has been known to stand on the side of a road by herself with her votes and her politics, and history has moved its course so that other folks have joined her. If I can learn anything from this beautiful living legacy, it will be to be courageous, and to continue to say that this country, just in the Pentagon alone, every year has $150 billion with a B of contractual waste. How dare we not bring up that reality every single day on the floor and in our politics? She has been an advocate for ceasefire, not only in this war, but in every war since, and loving both the Muslim and the Jewish people. Black women, I believe, are the moral fabric of this great nation. We saw that in the election polls. And just to follow her, learn from her. And she's also said, Latifah, set yourself apart. You know, so I bring a little street with me as well. It's elegant and it's streetness. But again, who the people that I have been working for years have had nothing, nothing. I've seen teenagers being shackled to hospital beds while they've delivered their babies because they were incarcerated. I've seen mothers literally weep, weep, because their children are being buried in that child sought addiction support and they didn't get it. You know, I've seen folks in conditions that are just shocking, even in this great, wonderful, wonderful district. Over 8,000 people are sleeping on the streets during this season in this community. We can give light to those folks who are seeking really the promise that they haven't been given that government can work for them. And again, Barbara has not done that work alone. She has done it with so much grace. I'm so humbled to be able to step in after. There's no filling her shoes. But I also know that she is not done. She is not done. And so I am going to be with her every step of the way as she has promised to be with me.
Congresswoman-elect Latifah Simon, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Soon. I appreciate you. All right.
Appreciate
Bye, sister.
You.
Happy All holidays. Right,
bye-bye. You too.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.